I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for September 16th, 2013, to order. Will the clerk please call the roll? All the members of the city council present here for a forum designated. I'd like to welcome you all to our city council meeting this evening. If you haven't found one already, there are still agendas on the two side tables. It's not a particularly long agenda this evening, though there are a few talking issues that city council will be addressing. If there's a particular issue you wish to address council on, please raise your hand to let me know, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time in the discussion. At this time, I invite you all to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by President Westfall.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, I do have a couple items for you. As agenda item 12, I would like to add setting the date for Halloween trick-or-treating in the city of Sylvania. As agenda item 13, I would like to discuss a couple of sister city activities coming up in the next couple of months. Mrs. Westfall.
Yes.
Members of city council. Mrs. Capellini.
I'd like to add something about this, the 4-6 radio going to the World Championship.
Sure. Let's make that agenda item 14, if that's okay. McCord student. Anything else from a member of city council? Seeing none, Mr. Sanford.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer.
Okay.
Chief Rodas.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mull.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
And moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. President Pro Tem's chair for that meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the meeting of Sylvania City Council of September 3rd, 2013 be approved as submitted.
Second.
And moved and seconded to approve those meeting minutes as submitted for September the 3rd, 2013. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item 5, we're very pleased to welcome Deb Cheney to our meeting this evening. For those you all know, Deb is the Executive Director of SCAT, and she is here to give us an update on her organization. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you. We do it every year, and we will keep that with community.
We continue to do our parent support program. We still have the biggest issue with our kids drinking, that our children that are underage. And we really know that we have to change adult behavior before we have to change kids' behavior. The perception out there is that our kids are the ones that continue to let down. So it's really, research shows that if we can change the adult behavior, that can really add perception and risk when we are to change behavior. And the program, Parent Support Note, is a program that addresses questions not soon of possible purposes, happening to the overall, all the acceptable to them. And I think it's because it's monitored what's going on. So that is one of our programs that we continue to do. So especially highlighting during our Christmas holiday, winter holiday time, the big celebrations, and also during our town graduation season. So it's a great time to celebrate, but it's tough to be done with collaboration responsibilities for the others, but not to be taken to those that are of underage. We continue to work with our police department and the compliance checks and private goals, compliance checks are done with our different stores and services that can offer alcohol to the people that are served. And the chain is not just considered to have a company with two different companies. We can run into ourselves, and so we can do the partners that they need to do the compliance checks to make sure that they are not sending underage, we need an individual that has a qualified to go under their supervision, and if they sell or go after that energy, they have that particular ability to get the same kind of and when it combines with that, we have to offer a they can go to the cell to the training and not have it on their record. But if it's more than a second time, then they have to talk to them with that. So that service for our community can be very valuable. It shows our individuals with holding license that they are accountable for selling, over-serving, so that we don't add to the issues that we have that around kids. Kids are smart and they will figure out something, but we need to do the best that we can in our hands. I listed the weekly show, we worked with them 6 weeks to the weekly national retreat. Trainings, offer leadership training, and they're there with hundreds of other kids from our country and also from internationally to talk about the issues that are threatening or at risk for our kids. At the same time, they're learning how to speak up and learning more about this issue so they can be a voice for us and for our community. And they take it back and they do more peer prevention within their own groups and also now start that team high groups. Which is maybe 15 and more of us, which we're really proud about. We're thinking of getting more of the team high kids involved because our boy really feels that we need to start younger, and so we're often led at our three junior highs, and our high school kids are actually being mentored for the years with the adult supervision of our youth coordinators. I listed several different fundraisers that we have there with the amounts that we've been able to show success there. We continue to look at different ways to bring in. We have grants that are out. Number 11, the DOC, which is the Upcoming Grant, is a continuation grant. We have to apply for that even though we've been carrying that for 9 years. And we just found out Friday, late in the evening, that we did get that. So we are going to be funded for $125,000. So we have 5 years that we get that. And then we will not be eligible for that federal grant any longer because it's only for 10 years. And so we're working real hard to look at our partnerships, collaborating, running other grants, looking at other possibilities so that we can figure out what we can afford, what we need to do, what are the programs that are worked for our kids, for our community, and how much it will cost. So we've been doing a lot of success with the building needs and really looking at that. There's one that is actually coming up that isn't even on here because it's just been picked in the last week. Mental health board has some money that they supplement, it's called supplementary fund from the last levy. And so the possibility of getting some funds from that. But we have to fit the numbers, we have to fit into the strategies of the community plan. So we have to look at some groups, it's not just because of the good work. We have to prove that we can fill their gap so that we can help them be successful and help them with the program and communities. And then looking at countywide, you have to be really careful because you're not going to have to do countywide effective. And that's a good collaboration. And that means that there's more work here than our end, but the collaboration is the way that we need to go that we're looking at too. And the grant we've gotten in mental health for addressing the social and the communities and the people that are collaborating with other folks, community, connecting them, instead of the physical agents for that, and also we look forward to make all that happen. And we're working to be part of the Lord's Mission Wellness Committee, so that's exactly the kind of partnership up there. So those are the highlights that I wanted to share with you. We listened to what you recommended, and we talked about it, really about trying to reach out and do other kinds of involvement with the community, and do some collaboration partnership, and we're really looking at that, looking at where we want to be, where we started, where we are now, and where we want to be, and how we want to get there. So that's all I've got for tonight. And many of you have been a resource to us, addressing changing our logo, thank you, Mary. She was really good about that, and looking at our website, but that's some things we were doing, and talking to other communities who have lost for 10 years of federal funding. Those are some things that they have already talked about, and they're young, so we talked with some of the parents on the right path, so we appreciate that. Questions?
You are a very busy organization, no doubt about
it. Well, we'd love to do it. We've got to get our community to do it properly again, so I think they're important. Thank you for coming.
This is, wait a minute, Mrs. Huston, you're a board member. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, thanks. This is nicely done with that. It's right up to the organization.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. Item number 6 on the agenda, we had a request from a resident on Vicksburg Drive, and I think she has several of her neighbors here tonight, to discuss feral cats in their neighborhood, backed up the woodland, and their issues. So if Janice Pearson is here, please come forward. Just come on up to the podium, give us your name and address again, even though it's on our end.
My name is Janice Pearson, and I'm 4650. We're having a problem with feral cats. We try to take care of the problem because it's been with female cats. We have not been successful. We try to get rid of them by capturing them, taking them to the Humane Society, Ohio Humane Ohio. Some of the neighborhood health services come and they pay to have some of the cats taken away. In to the tune of there's one of the neighbors spent $800 for a cat taken away, another neighbor has spent $75 to pass down spay and neuter. We've also spent traveling time, running cages, paying to have them neutered and spayed, dropping them off to the Humane Society, and if they want a donation, we drop them off. A lot of people have paid to try and keep, I have a desk, my desk, or under my desk. So I went up on the internet, put my fault down the desk, that would come out from under my desk. And it did, except for $9 on my golf balls for the last 6 weeks, along with the cat smell. So that didn't help much. They're damaging our yards, the flowers. This past spring, April, May, there was two of them that had six kittens apiece. So there's a total of about 18 cats. And now we can at least see that one of the females is pregnant again. I'm not sure how many females and males there are. The property owners are afraid to go in their yards and garden because the cats are moving out. And we find dead squirrels, animals, mice in our yards. And there's not near as many waste kind of animals, rabbits, as there used to be. And we're kind of bad, we don't know what to do next. And I know what we maybe suggested on here, you know, about your cats and household might not take it. But I brought pictures of all cats, although you can't tell which cats what cats, they're all black cats. but when there's three or four of them in your yard, and then you see the other ones, you know, they climb up the trees and go after the squirrels and birds. I also brought an article from my daughter lives in Minneapolis for a while, and there's an article in here about what the Southwest Minneapolis community newspaper about this, what they're doing about their feral cat issue. And I do a couple of them because they're awesome, some more than others.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming here. We thank all your neighbors for coming here. I'm sure we'd be interested in how another community is addressing the problem.
Okay. I can leave the pictures.
Just as a little background, we faced a feral cat issue 11 years ago on the east side of Olanda Park. Mr. Lukey is more familiar with that issue because it was one of his neighbors, as I recall. We invested time with experts to try and figure out what to do, and I'm not sure that we were able to do any zoning laws to alleviate the situation. I'm not sure how we did solve it, Mark. Maybe you can recall.
I think the neighbor at some point lost interest in feeding the cats. I think we're calling them feral. I think what I learned back then was that these are really stray cats that are fed, as opposed to feral cats that feed off the land, right?
Well, so she's feeding originally that, I think, was the original, and then I've multiplied. So she's now feeding the majority of them. She feeds them twice a day, and I can watch her. She comes out there twice a day, cat. So for they're fairly they do, you know, kill the other animals. I mean, even though they're being fed, they can kill, you know, we find dead mice and dead rabbits and stuff in our yards.
How many cats do you think you have?
Oh, we have like 18 right now. And then we know that it's one more pregnant. And we're assuming, since those original two female cats are still there that gave birth to the ones in the spring, are still there. There's at least two females, and then all the little kittens that were born, and they're now all
Ms. Pearson, as you've engaged the neighbor, what does this person say is their position about this problem?
Well, we tried when we said we were going to do it, she said she was going to help us and participate. a week went by. She was going to help get pages because she knew somebody. A week went by, she did nothing. So then we decided that we would go get the pages. And then she says, oh, yeah, you can put it in our yard. But she was picking and choosing which cats to put in the cages. Because she was actually, we made putting them in there, getting coaxing them in there. Because we get two at a time. And she names them. And but then she got kind of mad at me because she was the only one that she didn't want. I mean, take out the cage and then put it. She got kind of mad at me. They no longer have. And so then she says, she threatened to say that she's going to quit cheating. But that's not that. So I don't even think she understands how severe the problem can be if she continues to feed them.
You mentioned that you talked to the folks at Humane Ohio. What did they tell you?
Well, they wanted to catch them, bring them there, and have them either in the state and then bring them back there. Mm-hmm. But we have to get all of them.
Yeah. I did a little bit of research about this. First of all, I think from a number of years ago we found that, you know, this is very difficult to try to control by any kind of legislation, right?
Sure.
But the Humane Ohio folks at the time, five years ago, instituted a program called Operation Felix, where they would literally come into a neighborhood and round up cats and do the spay and neutering almost on site. It was like a cat mash unit.
Right, there's an article on the Blade this summer that they were doing that in zip codes in Toledo. And
right.
Actually, all the states that we participate,
right.
We even catch the cats. Itself.
And what they claim?
Well, yes, you can. You could bring them there. It was $25 a cat for the spay and neuter. But since she's feeding them all the time and she won't participate, we put the cages out there. And once she stopped participating, we couldn't catch any more cats.
Yeah. Well, I think the ultimate solution that we found there 10 years ago is that this is not a quick fix, right? That part of the deal is to try to spay the cats so that they don't reproduce.
Right.
I think you indicated that you've got, what, four times as many now as you did because of that. So I wonder if, the question becomes, I guess, how much the administration and council want to take on here. But it would seem to me that we could reach out to Humane Ohio and see if they would be able to work with us on some sort of a spaying program in the neighborhood. That comes to mind as something that's not an immediate fix, but something.
And then that's what this article.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the idea was, we kept on having stations and then they bring them back, and then that cuts off the cycle. So
yes.
Live.
Right.
It wouldn't immediately get rid of our problem, but at least to know in the future the problem would be.
Right.
But the way we are now, we can only see each other's kind of activity.
Right. I think the second piece, Mr. Mayor, would be, as we've had with some of our other neighbors in other parts of town on different matters, I wonder if we might not engage the Lucas County Health Department to take a look at this. This clearly might be becoming a health issue, and they sometimes have some ability to investigate and act on some of these things from a public health standpoint.
I have a code question. So defecation removal required, I mean, there's a whole section about feces, pet feces, and I mean, she's obviously creating a nuisance. Is this a finable? I mean, is this something that we could, she's in violation of this code, obviously, and if she starts getting fines, is she going to keep feeding them?
It's a fact-specific type of enforcement. We also, when you hear that with one hand she's feeding them, but the other hand, they're not her pets, she's not taking care of them other than feeding, which is the...
Cats don't need that much. I mean,
well, I was just looking for ways to find her for having these cats without a leash. Every time I saw a cat eating, I count them up and send and give her $100 fine. Why couldn't we do that? And then we'll just deal with it in the courts. We'll let the lawyers sort it out, which I'm always.
We've got culls. Why not just use what we have?
I would say that those are options that you could consider. I could tell you that in the last 15, 18 years, I can call any of the subjects around.
Well, there's always this might be the time to start.
The defecation removal.
And that would certainly provide an incentive for Mrs. Wheeler to stop feeding cats. You know, I find people respond really well to economic forces like fines and penalties. They don't always respond quickly. But, you know, if she's got 8 cats she's feeding in the backyard and she gets a fine one day, if she gets 8 citations for having cats without leashes and separate citations for having cats without licenses. And then she can come into court and prove that they're not hers when she's feeding them on a routine basis. And I know that puts a burden on our prosecutors, but in the big scheme of things, you know, we don't have, you know, I've read through this history, and there aren't a lot of options. We're not going to spend the kind of money that it would take to catch and care for these cats, which someone who isn't as nice might come to a different way to deal with them. But we're clearly not going to do anything other than that, having looked at the history of what we've looked at before. So can't afford to catch and care for them, but we can create economic incentives to stop someone from feeding cats. I mean, we...
That's not right. And I think that's a really valid point, and I'm looking at some of the reports this evening that we haven't had a chance to thoroughly review. Mark, we've kind of walked through this journey before. It might be something we should refer to committee for further discussion and for a recommendation back to
Let me check this way, Carrie, such a different thing. We did a pet survey, all right, containing itself in 3,000 bags for this pet survey. The corporation's defense government is a multi-thousand-dollar piece of the military care protection. And at the end of the day, it didn't feel good. Right. So I'm not hopeful that a public process is
Let me be blunter. I just don't think this is a problem that legislatively we can address. I think it's something that needs to be addressed administratively.
So I think reaching out to the health department for the second therapies in the course of not added should be worthwhile. And then the other piece of the process, you know, I don't know, to see if they would be worth it to get a program going similar to that for the students. If we don't have some sort of administrative
You know, I think we ought to talk with Mrs. Wheeler about working with the Humane Society to neuter her cats.
Well, I think that, you know, this is the first time this matter has come up in the last 12 years that I recall. And we identified a sick property person, our zoning department, certain accessibility, and others that are necessarily available to go and talk to find out from her perspective that the situation is all about. So we start, you know, implementing a certain, you know, new and additional procedures, I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. What I'm really asking for is counsel that some top line staff members that look at these questions have actually seen.
Jim, what if we sent her a letter citing our code and the ticket amounts that she could possibly rack up? just so that she can know this is what I'm looking at before we actually ticket her.
I think that would be best.
Just so that she realizes that she's, I don't think she knows.
It might not be a letter, it might be.
There's a third possibility. Instead of spending the money on legal action, which is probably quite expensive, you said that the organization will spade or neuter a cat for $25?
Yes. I called Humane Ohio this summer when she said she'd work with us to catch them, and I actually got them to agree to $5.
I mean, if it's $25 and there's 20 cats in the neighborhood, you're talking $500
right.
to have the problem fixed for your neighborhood only.
Right. And the thing was,
well, you got it down to $100.
So well, I far. Did, but the problem is that I had to do all the catching and the transporting and all that, which we were willing to do, except for she quit working with us and I couldn't catch anything. Well, I tried, and I mean,
I don't think it's up to the neighbors to solve.
No, I don't either. You know? What I'm saying is that instead of, you know, notify the neighbor that is feeding the cats and let her know.
I'd
but even when she stops feeding the cats, I don't think the cat problem is going to go away. I think they're still going to hang around.
No, it goes away pretty quick.
They move on. Right, but I think Mr. Moen, your suggestion of Mr. Overly going over there, I might suggest that he go along with an officer.
You can try that That's approach, better. But if she is that attached to these animals, she's going to feed them at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're not going to be around to see her feed them. I think she will continue to feed the cats.
Look, we have some incredibly ingenious people on the city staff from multiple disciplines. I think if we send some law enforcement over there to have a conversation with her, that's good. I think if we reach out to Humane Ohio to see if they would be willing to reassemble their Operation Felix team, which included, by the way, students at Stassenberger in their vet tech program who did the catching for us, and see if they'd be willing to do that. And I think we shouldn't expect that that would be free. I think the city needs to be prepared to pay for some of that, right?
Get it for free, but I...
Oh, sure. We'll send
I'd be willing. I would be willing.
I would also,
small cost,
at the same time, reach out to the health department, see what kind of enforcement they have. And I think if we at least investigate those three things, we can come back here in 3 weeks or 2 weeks and hear a little bit of what the recommended course might be.
Well, there's a fourth thing I'd like to hear from.
Okay,
well, there's another thing I'd like to hear back from. That is our options for fining her under the code to create the economic incentive. Because she's obviously not responding to her neighbor. So what we as a city are uniquely capable of doing is providing an economic incentive for her to address this problem and to work with us to address this problem.
Yeah.
Another thought that comes to my mind is also talking to local veterinarians, the Sylvania Vet. I personally go to Dr. Overmeyer on Sylvania Avenue. He's in Sylvania Township. But talk to some of these local community vets to see if they might be willing to participate in a reduced spaying and neutering program as well.
Bothered me too that we talk about fixing the problem, you know, sort of the point. Well, is that fair to have the administration do a little discovery on this in the next 3 weeks and come back with some thoughts?
It is. I'm not so sure that it shouldn't be referred to the zoning committee at the same time, just to review where we're at and talk about these fines, but maybe there's nothing to be
those
done.
These aren't zoning ordinances. These are, I mean, maybe public safety. But we have ordinances on the books. We have ordinances to address this.
Yeah, you know, I would rather have some recommendations that we could refer to a committee. I think there needs to be some administrative heft behind this before council has a chance. We can certainly, as a council, Mr. Mayor, give you ultimately some recommendations about this, but we need to have something to work with.
All right. We will work on the problem, try to come up with some solutions. We may move ahead, try to move ahead with some. We'll report back to you for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Our next meeting is on October the 7th. It's 4 times a year. We have a 3-week gap. At this time. So we want the administration to look at it starting on Thursday. While we're looking at it already, I meet with my staff on Thursday mornings and see what action we might be able to take out of the box. Certainly one of us is going to be a visit to talk to this.
I'm sorry, you can give you the newspaper.
I would appreciate that. Sure. All right, I saw a hand in the back row a few moments ago. You're welcome to come up. When you come up, please give us your name and address, and then you're welcome to speak.
My name is Erin. And when I used to live up here in the mill, in the mill street before I was here, I had a cat dog. And what I did is I talked to the owner out in the street and asked them if they were willing to take the people to the table farm to take the product and they wanted to take the product.
All right. Would anybody else like to have a chance to address council on this cat issue? If not, we appreciate your coming into our council meeting. You're certainly welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but don't feel you have to. If you're had enough, you're welcome to get up and go right now. Again, our next meeting is on Monday, October the 7th at 7:30 p.m. All right, past cats, and we're going to move on to item number 7, which is a report back from the Municipal Planning Commission regarding a recommendation on zoning amendment petition of PD 3-2013. This is an amendment to the master development plan for the Flower Hospital campus. You'll find that recommendation in your packet, recommending its approval, with the addition of a reference to a future river trail being shown on the master plan. And distributed this evening, there was a new plan distributed, and you'll see the reference to it both at the east and the west boundaries, with it says the approximate location of egress and egress for future Sylvania River Trail, actual location for trailhead and river trail to be determined. We don't know exactly where it goes through there. I don't really want it shown in the wrong place. So the city will have to rework the master plan future when we build this trail. Hopefully this meets at least some of the directions that you got.
Council only needs tonight to set the public hearing date. Administration and clerk are recommending that you set that date at November 4th. It'll be a very tight schedule to try and get in here by October 21st for advertising purposes, so we are recommending November the 4th. Certainly make any comments you want tonight. You can refer to your own committee tonight, but I do recommend setting the public hearing.
Mr. Mayor, I think the 4th is fine, but I think it would be important that we have somebody who can present this plan and talk about some of these issues other than, I don't expect the Planning Commission to make the presentation, and I don't know that you feel you're prepared to make a presentation, but if we could have someone from the hospital or from,
They did do that at the Planning Commission, and I'm sure they would intend to do that during the public hearing.
Okay.
Great. They brought both their engineer, they brought a representative of HCR. They had 7 people here, I believe, and did make a presentation at that point.
So we can anticipate that at this meeting on the 4th.
I think you can. You also have in your council packet the preliminary site plan review comments from our assistant or our deputy director, Joe Shaw, talking about some of this. Now, some of this is beyond the scope of what you're reviewing. You're doing a master plan. But it does give you some of the ideas or some of the issues that the city is concerned about on that change.
Because I think I have some questions, but I don't really feel like this is, we're not really in a forum to address those.
The
and
public
I would
hearing
like
would
to
be
do that
form.
In a public hearing, and would like to do that with someone present who can talk.
If Mr. Rose, you would intend to have your presenters back to the public hearing, I assume.
Expert.
Doug, if we do schedule it for the 4th, can we do it and not just give it a pro forma half hour, but maybe a little bit more time to have the presentation, have some discussion?
The administration is recommending 6:30.
Do you think we'll need more than an hour?
I don't know.
There is one other thing going on that night, Mr. Sanford. Do you know what time the ribbon cutting is?
4.
On November
4th. We're going to miss that.
Or back it up to 6, back this up to 6 o'clock, and if by then, I think some or all of us can get over. I will be going over. I've been asked to set that time aside.
Why
don't committed
we,
to be there.
Why don't we get to 6 if it goes long and set those to 6.
All right. Mr. Mayor, it's appropriate. I've moved that we set the public hearing on PD3-2013 for 6 o'clock on November 4th in council chamber.
And moved and seconded to set the public hearing for PD3-2013, the Flower Hospital Master Development Plan, for Monday, November 4th at 6 p.m. in these council chambers. The motion is to set that date and authorize the clerk to advertise that date. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So there we are. Bring your experts. And we will have our IT man present that evening so that you'll be able to use the digital projector. It was a smaller group for the Planning Commission. It didn't seem necessary, but for public hearing, we will make that available. All right. We are now up to Monroe Street reconstruction agenda item 8. The specific item here is to authorize a larger contract with the consultant because of additional water lines that was included in the project. This is also an appropriate time to have Mr. Aller give us an update of those two construction projects as well. Why don't we start with that, and then we'll address the additional service issue site.
The Erie Street
prison placement. It's scheduled, Wednesday afternoon, she's working to extract the policy that there is to be approved. I don't know if it's been working to get.
Is the road bed in at?
The road bed, it's at that place, yeah.
Questions for Mr. Aller on the schedule? If not, the item in your council packet, the letter that he has, agenda item 8A, he did, and recommended to the administration to replace some of the sections of older water lines to it. And that was not included in the original Manic and Smith Group contract. Why don't you talk about that now?
Original project was strictly for safety of trip. Those things on that, which is in the contract. Upon starting the design and the discussion with our building departments, there was some minor store work that was done. Initially, they did just a spill on the cost of the store. We've been negotiating some time on that. And for a time, put up all of the fires to pull off, put up the process off the service. And there's this drop in the issue. We finally got back to the sort of process to the form, but it's not like the situation. And it's come to the treatment on the proposed mission. I believe that's the sheriff, that's the sheriff, like you represent.
Can you estimate the dollar value of the water line replacement for?
The water line replacement work was approximately $90,000.
Just the value of the water line, you could do it. I see that the legislation is written to take this engineering fee out of the capital improvements fund rather than the water fund. Is that appropriate since we have it isolated out as a utility fund expense? Even the water line replacement for $90,000? And we reimburse them. That's fine. I just like to have that happen if we're on the capital. All right. That's satisfactory. Any questions for Mr. Aller? Mrs. Waterline, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 71-2013. All members of council receiving copies, I read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve the amendment to the city's agreement with Manick and Smith Group to reflect the additional design services requested, decreasing the proposed amount by $22,424.66, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second, third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 71-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance 71-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 71-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 71-2013 is approved. Thank you for the update on the construction project, Mr. Aller. We'll be glad to see those projects finalized. Moving on to agenda item 9. The administration made a commitment to get back to city council with proposed additional verbiage in the proposed ordinance and to better regulate vehicles over 20 feet in length. We've come back to you with that language. The law director has pointed out to me a couple of issues. One, that the public hearing remains continued for this issue, and we need to give public notice, not legal notice, but at least public notice to the people that were here, that I'm going to restart that public hearing. We'll do that at the next council meeting. The law director has also pointed out to me that we may want to refer this issue back to the Planning Commission so that we can include other zoning classifications, other residential zoning classifications, other than just R1 in this legislation and get the Planning Commission's recommendation back on that. The Planning Commission does not meet again until October 16th. And I think that we should be including more than just the R1 district in this. There are R2 districts in particular where a lot of these problems exist. It's not just large lot residential. So I agree with the law director on that. but I don't think you should continue the public hearing until after you get your recommendation, your next recommendation back from the planning commission. So you could advertise or publicize that we will resume that public hearing on October 21st, but you don't have to do that tonight. Nor do you have to refer to the planning commission, because there is another planning or another city council meeting on October the 7th prior to the planning commission meeting on the 16th. So it is up to you. I do request that you review the new language that's in here regarding recreational vehicles and boats longer than 20 feet. We put it in there, there must be an additional 1 foot from the property line for each five, additional 5 feet in length. Whether you want to refer it back to the zoning committee or committee of the whole, and review that, and probably then refer to the planning commission. Probably the right approach at this time. But I'll defer to Mr. Canum or to the law director.
You know, I have a question. In this draft, we removed the existing paragraph F relating to the temporary parking of business.
E and F.
Well, E we've kind of incorporated in. What happened to F?
It was my understanding that F was also one Sandy that indicated desire to have removed. So F is removed. F the one for business trailers, temporary parking of business trailers.
Why would we remove?
That was what I heard as coming as the recommendation.
Yeah, well, I'm opposed. I don't want to remove. I don't want a business trailer parked.
That's what I thought. We commented, we tried to look back into the recommendation of comments. If we don't want to, obviously.
No, okay, well, we want that. I think we want that back now.
That's fine.
And in terms of applying to additional
zoning
classifications.
I can give you the one for the contemplated, right? That's what I proposed.
What did you have? 117 through 125 or 125?
R2 single family residential.
Yeah.
Which is 112107.
Yeah.
R1A, two family residential large lot, which is 11-1907.
Yeah.
And R2A, two family residential small lot, which is 11-2307. They all sort of mirror the same classifications of lot districts.
Can I ask again, which R's are you leaving out? Which residential are you leaving out?
R3, R4, which is we also don't have commercial buildings in this classification. They have parking restrictions. These additional residential districts should be considered and referred to the planning commission.
Yeah, I had identified chapters. Well, this is 117. I had identified 119, 121, and 123. And making, now what I'm not, and removing any recreational vehicle storage in R3 and R4. I think there's currently some allotment in R3. Am I right? I know there are accessory uses in A4 or in R4 and R3. And I had these all printed out. I left them on my desk.
Potentially, your request would be to just have them accumulated in R3 and R4.
Right.
Which you could do. The question is, do you want to sell that? We have another council meeting before the report of the planning commission. Refer these three sections considering the additional.
Well, the other issue is, what are we referring? You know, when you have two family residents, our current proposal limits a single vehicle. And Would you propose referring that to the Planning Commission for guidance and recommendation?
I think so. It's really a question of size of the lots that might help drive it. Are you going to bring to council in the discussion tonight if there were people supporting the government and the home vehicle and the government would be to see the benefits of that?
It does seem like there's quite a lot of discuss. I think it's a good thing we identified these critical questions before we move to any final steps here. And it does seem like some further review might be in order.
I'd like to make a comment. You know, when I was going through the proposal, number 10 is screening for municipal. And I know that City Council, we had a lot of discussion on what type of screening would be appropriate for these recreational vehicles. And there's no reference to the type of screening. They could put up two poles and a burlap cover and call it screening. And based on this legislation, we would have no recourse. I think we need to come up with screening guidelines, whether they're planning, fencing, whatever, rather than the screening is permissible. You know, what kind of screening is permissible? That's my major question. The other thing that goes through my mind that we need to address is the effective date. You know, they talk about grandfathering and stuff. I'm not in favor of any kind of grandfathering. I think we need to, in the legislation, state what the effective date is so that we can start addressing some of the problems around the community.
You want
to
change
to me,
it?
There is a grace period of 60, 90, 120 days. It's whatever effective date we choose. And I think we need to address that also.
No, it would normally become effective upon passage in the mayor's
signature. But there was a lot of discussion about, you know, we're going to give them time to make the corrections and all that kind of stuff. I think we need to discuss that and come up based on and put it right into legislation on what the effective date will be. Is it the date of the legislation? I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, that's what it would be normally, okay. Unless we did something different.
But there's been some concern from other council members that we need to give the residents time to correct the problem. Those are my two questions.
So I'm looking back at our notes from our last zoning and annexation committee. There's 13 different sections. And that removed section 1121.07E was in the original administration proposal. That did come from Cindy. Okay. Yeah, that was in the original, and I'm not sure why, and I didn't catch it until I looked at the legislation. Okay, so that's listed as something as a consensus. That's not a consensus. We never talked about that. I don't think we really, and I missed it, honestly. So I'm not sure where that came from, but I don't want to do away with that. I don't think anybody on council has suggested doing allowing business trailers in residential areas other than as currently provided in the code, which would be totally enclosed in a garage. And I think we're good with that. So we don't want to remove it. I'm looking back at this. And if anybody feels differently, speak up now. Okay, nobody speak up. So we are in agreement. I thought we were in agreement on that. Otherwise, I thought his proposal, great recommendations on addressing the larger size. I like the idea of adding setback for additional length. That'll create reasonable constraints. I like the definitions on the cover. So if I got the temporary parking lot back, the temporary business trailer thing back in there, we'd
That's
be,
not hard to do.
Yeah, I'd be, I'm good to go on what we got.
I'm troubled with Mr. Brown's question about, on item 10, screening is permissible. I wanted to define screening. What does council think screening is? Obviously, in other parts of the code, screening means fencing, screening can mean vegetation, but Mike's right. Unless it's defined elsewhere, and maybe Mr. Aller knows whether it is or not. I know you want to put parking lots too close to property line. It gives you very clear what screening means. And maybe it's covered.
I would have to check. I know that you've had screening. I'm not sure if it's a test project. It's just
I haven't looked at it either, but I think it is addressed in our zoning code in the, one of the introductory sections. I'm not.
We will.
It's been a couple of years since we've looked at that. I don't keep it all fresh. So we could look at that. But
we always have the run of the situation of interpretation of what the screening consists of. Probably started in something saying it's not screened appropriately. So initially, I was only official to look at that it would be ultimately by the service director, then also through the prosecutor, and also through the judge, and then not screened appropriately. And so at this point, there's a good lots of time.
All right. Mr. Gaynham, following this discussion, maybe the appropriate schedule is to allow the administration to bring back revised approved legislation yet again to the October 7th meeting, and at that time refer it back to the Planning Commission and perhaps instruct the clerk to notify previous public hearing attendees of the meeting to follow.
And in terms of what I think we want to refer to or get input from the Planning Commission, I think it would be on modifying those four sections we mentioned, 11, 17, 19, 20, 21, and 23, to have comparable provisions and to eliminate any issues relating to the recreational people from the R3 and R4. I think that it's already out of R4, but I'm not sure about R3. We can look at that, but we ought to make the reference complete if we're going to make it. Yeah. That sound good?
All right. Mr. Hainem or any other member of council have input or want to talk to the law director in the next 3 weeks, we can do that. We'll try to have something to you, Mr. Hainem, prior to the next council meeting.
But this is good. We're getting close.
That brings us to agenda item 10, which is committee reports. Any committee chairman have reports to be made at this time? Seeing none, agenda item 11 is committee referrals. Anything new to be referred to committee? Hearing none, let's move on to added agenda item 12, which is to establish a date for Halloween trick-or-treating within the city limits and the times for doing that. Traditionally, we have done it on Halloween itself, which this year is a Thursday, and I don't think has a safety concern for football games or anything like that. And we traditionally do it from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. If that is acceptable to council, I would entertain a motion to set those dates.
So moved.
And moved and seconded to set Halloween trick-or-treating for Thursday, October 31st from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. within the city limits. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 13. I wanted to inform council of some upcoming sister city activities. There was a sister city commission meeting this evening at 5:15. And some of these dates were discussed. First off, there will be a sister city dinner here in Sylvania the night ahead of the Fall Festival. Fall Festival is on Sunday, October 20th, so our sister city dinner is going to be Saturday night, October 19th, and I believe it's going to be at Trio's Restaurant. The city will be picking up the cost of our guests from Woodstock, Ontario dinners, but all local people are going to pay their own way. And I encourage as many of you as possible to attend that dinner. We are informed that there will be more representatives coming down from Woodstock that have come for previous sister city activities at the request of the Woodstock mayor. And they have gone as far as rescheduling their firemen's ball so that it did not conflict with our fall festival. So we expect many more attendees. I've heard somewhere in 25 to 30. So I would like to have some fresh faces on our side as well. So put that in your schedules, and the announcement will be coming forth from Mrs. Bigelow in my office, because she's been made the official point of contact between the two sister city commissions and you. So that'll be forthcoming. I expect the dinner to be in the range of $23, is what I guess. So depends which entree you select. It'll be three pre-selected banquets. We'll be in the banquet room at you.
What time did you say?
I did.
Okay.
I would assume around 6. I don't know that, but I would guess around 6. The fall festival is the following day. The Sunday, that's as it always is. It's a very well-attended activity. It's the biggest crowds downtown are always for the fall festival. When we have good weather, you can barely push your way up and down Main Street. It's so crowded. And this being a local election year, there could be several politicians prowling the edges of the street. Yes. So that'll be a busy day in downtown Savannah. The other date I want to talk to you about is Saturday, November 16th. That is the date of the Woodstock Santa Claus Parade. Woodstock Mayor came down here. He's personally trying to reinvigorate our sister city relationship, and I am supporting him every way I can. I'll be traveling north. I don't want to speak for Mrs. Westfall and Mr. Brown, but I've heard that they might be traveling up there as well. We are treated very well in Woodstock. I know Mrs. Hussman has been up there several times in the past. I encourage whoever's interested to come along. They will buy your dinner up there, I'm sure.
When is that?
November 16th. And I have been in a wide variety of weather up there. We've had warm evenings, and I've ridden in that parade. And it's just a pleasant fall evening, and I've also been in a blizzard during that parade. You could not open the window, or the snow was coming in sideways. And you go over a rise. It blows at you. It's a fascinating parade to see. Their downtown is almost 2 miles long, and the parade is almost 2 miles long. It's one of these parades where they bring in all the communities from that part of Ontario. Everybody sponsors their own flatbed truck, and it's just a wonderful thing to see. This is not the year our marching bands are going, but that will be next year. But it is a very nice activity to go to. You'll want to get your hotel reservation early if you're going, because they do look them up. We'll get you more information as it becomes available. And then on to added agenda item 14. Mrs. Westfall, you wanted to talk about a court student recognition. Mrs. Capellini, my apologies.
So it was brought to my attention that this the fourth sixth grader earned a spot at the U.S. karate team that's going to Italy for the World Karate Championship. She's only in sixth grade, and she faced a lot of adversity on the way. So I think I sent the link to the Atlanta Drive. So I thought it might be nice to recognize her.
I think that's very appropriate. We're going to, I don't know if there's enough information in that article or not, but we can challenge Mrs. Bigelow to come up with enough information, and we'll come up with a resolution or something. You're looking for a council?
Yeah, explain the resolution in creating the photo opportunity in the public.
Okay, so it's not a mayor's proclamation, it's a resolution. We'll take, okay. We'll get a call.
Motion?
Now, where is she going to Italy?
She's in Italy October 14th.
Well, good, we'll get it done before she leaves, because we meet again on October 7th, so she may be off of training. Yes, a motion of somebody to prepare.
I'd like to make a motion to prepare a resolution for Skylar Short in reference to going to the World Championships for Friday.
It's moved and seconded to have the law director prepare a resolution recognition for Skylar Short as a member of the U.S. Karate team. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll have that ready, and we'll also have Mrs. Booker try to arrange for her to come October the 7th. She might be busy just getting ready to go to Italy. We'll see what we can
do. Back.
Would you prefer that?
Whatever she prefers.
Okay. Actually, we can't now. We can frame it. We can sign it. We just operate the frame. But we've got those frames to the same size. Pre-manufactured. Much more economic.
More efficient.
Whatever's better for her.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. Is there any other council business at this time? I do draw your attention to information item A, which is the tax report. You can see, you'll see that we are on the positive side. Our new tax commissioner is far more precise than previous. We go up to hundreds of percents, 4.04% increase from last year, yet it's down from the last 2 months. But we are still on the positive side, and I think that's pretty close to what you had budgeted. Is it not, Mr. Troyer? We're pretty close. We'll see how that times out through the end of the year. Obviously, it's getting more precise. This is two-thirds through the year, so we're getting close. If there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, October the 7th at 7:30 p.m., 3 weeks from tonight. Thank you all for attending.
Hey, listen.